This morning's message and then next Sunday, God willing, will be our final message in the Gospel of John. John chapter 21, our text begins in verse number 18. John 21, 18, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," this is Jesus speaking to Peter, "when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, this is Jesus saying to Peter, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" This is John himself, actually. Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If thou will that I tarry," or rather, "that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple, speaking of John, should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he shall not die, but, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Consider what Jesus, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute, what Jesus just said to Peter. This would have been really difficult, I think, for him to hear, understanding what he was meaning. And after hearing what Jesus just predicted would happen to Peter, the last phrase of verse 19, look what it says, the last sentence there, it says, "And when he had spoken this," this is Jesus speaking to Peter, "he saith unto him," say it all together, "Follow me." So even though this is what's predicted of your future, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and decide that you're going to follow me. I think that should touch all of us. We're going to talk about that this morning because we've all been given different commands by God. Direction, leadership. And so it looks different. What God is doing in somebody else's life is different than what God is doing in your life. So don't look across the aisle and think about, well, what about them and what about them? How can I can't? Or how come I have to? Or whatever. No, no, no. You know what God wants you to do. You follow me. You follow me. That's what God says. So that's what we're going to talk about. Contentment this morning, contentment. Father, we need you today, so we pray for your grace to help us where we're weak in this area of being content. And so guide us in your path, Lord. Help us to see your spirit. Lord, would you convict us where we need to be touched this morning? All of us need it. And I just pray that there would be an openness. And I pray that you would strike through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And would you give us just what we need this morning, please? We'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was in high school, we had three seasons of basketball with the Christian school team that I played for. And my sophomore year, coming into that season, it was new because the league was different than what I was used to, being in the public school and the competition and the competitiveness that was there. And then coming into a Christian school league, it was just totally different. Not that there wasn't good talent there, it just wasn't as much. And so the teams were smaller. I went from being on a team that had like 20 kids on it and fighting for a position just to be on the team, and then starting to fight for that starting position or playing time, to a league where we had seven people on our entire team. So that means if two guys fouled out, I mean, we're at the last straw. So it's just a different, you know, mentality and everything that goes along with it. There was one team that we never beat. And I wanted, it was sort of a goal of mine through those 3 years, each year, because we played the same teams and thus the same kids. Now there were seniors maybe that passed off the scene, and thank goodness, because usually those were the good guys. You know, they were really good. So my sophomore year, lost every game we played against them. Tournaments, regular season, we lost all the games. And we got blew out, like 30, 40 points. The next season, we lost all our games, tournaments, regular season. Didn't get blown out by nearly as many, only by 20 points this time, the average of that season. So coming into my senior season, I mean, it was kind of a lofty goal to say, we're going to beat that team. We're going to compete with this team, and we're going to beat this team. And I remember it was our last game, home game, against this team. It wasn't our last game of the season, but it was our last home game against that team. And so, and we had a guy that became, who was never eligible and never did his schoolwork. He was finally eligible for the game. And so it was like, we're full strength, man. And he's our tall kid. He was like 6'2", and the tallest one on our team. And he was a good player. And I remember thinking, we're going to compete in this game. And we got the church, because it was a church school, so we got the church excited. And a lot of church families showed up to the game. So it was real loud in there, which makes a big difference. And it was exciting, and we ran in, we had the pregame, and I could tell, this just feels different. Like, we have a chance to compete with this team. And so we get out on the court, and we're fighting, and we're aggressive, and we're working hard. And I'm, as a senior, I'm navigating. I'm not just working hard and knowing how things work, but I'm yelling at all the other guys to get in position, because we can't make any mistakes in this game. Everybody has to be in place. Everybody has to be in position. Everybody has to be doing their job. And we will compete with this team and give ourselves a chance. Got to halftime, we're down by 2 points. And I'm telling you, when you're losing to a team by 20 points and you're only down by two at halftime, we're feeling good about ourselves. And the team that we're playing against is wondering what's happening right now. You know, we're either off our game or something's juiced up and special about this team tonight. And I think both of that maybe was happening. We came in after halftime, and we're fighting, and we're aggressive, and we're just pounding against this team all the way till we get into the fourth quarter. And we're a few minutes into the fourth quarter, so there's about 6 minutes left in the game, and we're right there neck and neck all the game. And all the time I'm thinking, we got a chance. We got a chance, and we are fighting, and this is exciting. This is good. And then one of our best players fouls out. The guy that worked defense right beside me, he was a good offensive player. I mean, he was long this way, and he was tough to get by. He was a good defender. And he fouled out with 6 minutes left in the game. And remember what I said? We had like three guys on the bench, you know. And so we brought in our backup, and from where we were with our starter, the kid that fouled out, to our backup, it was a pretty steep drop-off, okay? So, I mean, I amped up my vocal leadership towards him. I mean, he probably thought I hated him or was his enemy, but, you know, I was yelling at him for that last 6 minutes. He needed to be in position. He needed to be where he needed to be. But the problem was he just couldn't get there. It wasn't that he didn't know where to be. He couldn't get there quick enough. And so what ended up happening in that last 6 minutes, where we went from either being up by two or down by two the whole game, now they're up by five. And now they're up by six and eight and then 10 and then 12. And we ended up losing by like 12 or 13 points. And you know, the fight and the aggression and that we were neck and neck in this game all the time, it was good. But I felt disappointed. I felt like we could have won that, so the loss was hard to accept. It was hard to accept that. Now, I told you that story to say this. The devil, watch, I know we're getting a little distracted. It's more exciting over there than over here. The devil wants to distract you in this sense, that God leads us in the path he wants us to be on. And sometimes when God is guiding us, we can say with assurance that we're where God wants us to be. You might say that this morning, and I hope that you can say that. Not just like that you're in church. We ought to be in church. And so that you're present this morning, that I think we can say we're where God wants us to be, like on Sunday morning. But I'm talking about in your life. You're trying to seek the Lord. Not that we're perfect and that we don't have our days and we don't have our struggles at times. But in life right now, you might say, well, I'm where God wants me to be. But sometimes we go through things even while following God. It's hard for us to accept. God's leading us. He's showing us what he wants us to do. But it's hard, I think, at times for us to accept the leadership of the Lord in our life. Like, for example, he wants us to make a change in our life. I want you to make this change in your life. I want you to add this to your life, or I want you to delete this from your life. And we talk about that a lot on Wednesdays, actually. Changes that God convicts us about, you know, getting the world out or more of the Lord's leadership in our life. And so he guides us in the way he wants us to go, but it's not always easy to accept the Lord's leadership. It's not always easy to accept that even though you know it's what God wants, it's not always the easiest thing to do what God wants. Sometimes we're wondering, how is it going to turn out? So it's hard to follow the Lord's guidance when you know he's leading you to do something, but you're not sure how it's going to go, but you have to trust God. You have to have faith that God knows what you don't know. And so you take those steps knowing you're doing what God wants you to do. You're in his will. You don't know how it's going to turn out, but you trust God. Amen. That he knows how it's going to turn out. It seems to you, if you forecasted it, it wouldn't go very well. And that's where the struggle to accept it is. I know this is what God is doing. I don't exactly know how it's going to turn out, but I know God is leading in this. And so we trust him and then we obey. Sometimes that's not the struggle. It's not that you're struggling in trust. It's you're struggling because what he's leading you to do, you just don't want to do it. And there's a battle there. It's still an issue of trust, but it's hard to accept what the Lord's doing. Now, if you think about Peter and what Jesus just said to Peter, this would have been something that would have been hard to accept. Now, think about what Jesus just said to Peter. Look at it with me. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. So let's talk about that for a minute. He spoke of his being young. He's not talking about just like as a young child. He's talking about early on in ministry, young in ministry, when there would have been freedom to go about and serve and to minister and do as God has called you to do. So in that sense, there's not anybody in here who isn't young. We all are young in the sense that you're in a place right now with so that freely you can obey God and freely you can serve him and you can be an example or a witness in this world. God is saying, I have a mission for you, Peter. You're going to go into this world and you're going to preach the gospel and you're going to teach doctrine to people and you're going to establish churches and you're going to be used of me to do this when you're young. But there is going to come a day when you're old, he says. And look at that with me. Look at verse number 18 again. He says, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This stretching forth of the hands in ancient times would have been understood as being stretched forth on a cross. And so what Jesus is saying to Peter, and even in verse 19 he plainly said it, he's signifying the death that he would die. He's saying that you're going to minister and you're going to do great work for me, but there's a day that's coming down the road when your arms are going to be stretched out and you're going to be girded or tied to the cross. And then you're going to be carried away and you're going to die this death on the cross. You're going to be led away to your death. And that's what Jesus just said to Peter. Now that would have been hard to hear that. I mean, it's one thing to hear about the ministry that God has for you and the future that God has for you. If God's going to predict some things, he's going to say, you're going to have freedom to do some great things for me and I'm going to do great things with you. And by the way, that's the blessing of being where God wants you to be. That's the blessing about doing what God wants you to do, is you get to put yourself in the hand of God, and then God gets all the glory, but God can do much more with your life than you can do with your life. He can bring joy to your life a lot more than you can bring joy to your own life. And so all of those things are true, and Peter would have understood that, and if that's where it stopped, that would have been motivating, I think, right? To say, well, I want to serve God. I want to follow him. I want to give him my life. And so this morning, if I only threw flowers out there, you know, I said in Sunday school, I guess I'll go ahead and say it this morning, but we had a wedding on Friday. Amen. You're like, right here. And probably a lot of you didn't know that. But Brother Trevor and Miss Alexis got married. Amen. On Friday right here. You know why? Because they wanted to be right with God. Amen. And we're proud of you for that. Amen. And what a wonderful testimony they are in doing that. And you know what? It was beautiful. And the girls decorated and there was flower petals on the ground, and there was like little decorations with flowers up here, and she had a bouquet, and then I had one of those things right here, you know, So you know how it is, guys. So you know you're going with it, right? So no, it was good. It was good. And this morning, sometimes, and I say this hesitantly, but sometimes I feel like, wouldn't it be nice if we could just throw flowers every Sunday? You know what I mean? It's a wedding every Sunday. It's the flowers. It's just beautiful. And serving God is like this. It's just roses and petals and, you know, just running in the field. It's just amazing. You're just going to just enjoy. You're like, running? I can run? Yeah, you just follow God and He'll let you run in the field. It's just going to be amazing. But it's not that way. It is that way in a sense where God's blessings are there and it'll be joy in your life. But there will be those seasons and there will be that time when it's not roses. I mean, there's a struggle here. There's a challenge here. And by the way, Jesus taught His disciples consistently that they would, because they follow Jesus, they would suffer persecution. Because they love Jesus, Jesus was persecuted. He died because He was Jesus. And we are followers of Jesus. And so because we love Him, and the more we reflect Him, the more the world hates that. And so there will be those seasons when we, like Peter, will hear or will experience and know, okay, this is a little bit harder than I thought. You know what it sometimes happens for people or in people's lives is they want to follow Jesus and they want to be right with God and they start to serve Him. But what you'll find is it's not always easy. And not only do we have a world that opposes, but we have a flesh that opposes. And we have a devil that we said in Sunday school constantly throws darts and he's seeking to sideline you and to distract you and to destroy you. And so along the way, God's call is there and His blessing is there and the joy is there. And we look forward to every day because when you serve God, every day is a day filled with peace and joy. And that's true. And that's every day, whether you're going through it or not. And that's a blessing. So we have that understanding and we have that faith and we have that joy that God brings into our life. But along with it is the challenges that come along the way. And here's what God says. You know, I want you to be a follower of me, but not just when it's easy. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to understand that sometimes I'm going to lead you into a path and it's going to bring trial in your life. And you're going to experience difficult seasons, being right where I want you to be, doing just what I want you to do. And despite that, you'll still have these. But you know what I want you to do? Follow me. I want you to follow me. Continue to follow me. Continue to be where I want you to be. Continue to do what I want you to do. And that's the instructions to Peter. This would have been difficult to accept. You know, whenever you hear the blessings part of it, you think of victory. But when you hear you're going to be stretched out and you're going to be led to your death because you're a follower of me, that would have felt like defeat. Sometimes those things are hard to accept. Look what Jesus said next. Rather, what Peter said in verse 20. Then Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. Anytime, by the way, you're reading through the Gospel of John, he never referenced himself, the author of the earthly writer of this great book. He always referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so that's John. Now it says that he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following. So the implication there is at some point during that dinner where Jesus was with all the disciples and he spoke to Peter and restored him saying, "Lovest thou me?" three times. At the end of that conversation, Jesus would have stood up with Peter and began to walk. And so now they're being separated from the disciples and Jesus is speaking to Peter as they're walking. When he gave him this news that you would be a follower of me, or rather you would be blessed and you would do a great work, but then your arms will be stretched out in one day, they would have been walking. And Peter turned and looked to see what other disciples might have been there, and John was there. Look what Peter said next, verse 21. Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" This is to say that John asked Jesus, Peter asked Jesus, "What about John? What's going to happen to him? So this is the end for me. This is the path you've led me down. But what about him? What will happen to him?" Jesus gives a kind of sharp response. One commentator called it tart This is a tart response. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So Jesus gave instructions to John, and John struggled with it. It was hard for him to accept it. So he looked around and as to ask, well, what will happen? Or Peter would have asked, what would happen to John? What path or leadership do you have for him in his life? And Jesus doesn't reference what God's plan for John is at all. He says, in a sense, he says, you need to stop thinking about John. You need to not worry about John. Maybe we could say it this way. John is none of your concern. You know, I think sometimes we get off. We go down the path we don't need to be on. And then we start looking around at other people, not only to make blame, because that's a big part of it at times, we make blame, but we justify our actions because of what other people are or are not doing. And God says, no. The real question is this, are you where I want you to be? Are you doing what I want you to do? That's what really matters. When I counsel people, I sit down with folks, and they're looking for direction in their life. There's two questions you have to have the answer to. If you don't have the answer, you need to stop all of your prayers for about anything else and ask God for an answer to these two questions. And some of you, I think, are right there this morning. I'm not just saying that. I really mean this. Number one, you need to ask God this question. God, am I where you want me to be? The key word in that is where. I don't want you to be where I want you to be. You need to not be where somebody else wants you to be. And that's often what guides us, isn't it? You know why I'm where? Okay. You know why I'm where I am? Because that's where they wanted me to be. Hang on a second. So you're where you are because somebody else has you there? No. Where does God want you to be? That's what you need to answer. And so we need to go to our knees. And maybe this morning some of us need to do this. God, am I where you want me to be? And if you can say with confidence in your soul, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and He's guiding you and He's affirming that you're where He wants you to be, then you can say amen. And you know what you can do after that? You can just stay there. That's pretty good, right? And by the way, I didn't make that up. Maybe it sounded like it. Do you know what the word content means? Oh, this is good. The word content means two things. It means held. It just means held, content, held. But it also means to stay. To stay. That's what contentment means. You're where God wants you to be, not because of somebody else or how you feel about it. When folks come to the office and they're like, Pastor, I want to be a member of the church. Well, I want you to be a member too. Because I want everybody to be a member of the church here. I really do. But that's not good enough that I want you to be a member or even that you want to be a member. Because you want to be a member today, but next week you might not want to be a member. We can't move on whim. Is this where God wants you to be? Okay, if you can say that for sure, yes, with affirmation and confirmation of the Spirit in your soul, you're right where God wants you to be. You know what you need to do then? You need to be there. You need to stay. Because you're right where He wants you to be. Now, if God changes, then you go with God. And I counsel that too. If God changes and He moves, then you move with God. You be where He wants you to be. But then you do what God wants you to do. What are we doing for God? What are we doing in this world? What are we involved with out there that maybe nobody in here knows about but you? Well, God knows, by the way. Amen. But you know what you're involved with. Is it what God wants you to do? Do we sort of, in our life, evaluate the things that we do and the things that we don't do based on whether or not God wants us to do those things? Because in life, that's what we need to do. We need to pause life and go to our knees and ask the Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Not what somebody else wants me to do. Or not because of somebody else. No, what does God want you to do? Now, if you can say with affirmation and confirmation in your soul that the Spirit of God is doing, leading you to do what He wants you to do, you know what you need to do? You need to stay. Amen. You need to do that. That's what you need to do. And you need to keep doing it. That's what contentment is. You know, I feel like I see in my kids when they were real little, contentment. They don't really care about anything around them. You know what I mean? They're just content just how they are. Andrew, where's Andrew at? There he is. Everybody needs to picture Andrew this way. When he was little, he ate his food like, this is the last day I'm ever going to get to eat anything. I mean, it was on both sides of his face, all the way up. I don't know how he did it. I mean, it was pretty amazing. He would just put his whole face on that food. He would go all the way to the center. If it's a hamburger, he's getting right to the center. And so he has hamburger, he has ice cream, and it's just coming up the side of his face. And he's done eating. If mom didn't notice, dad sometimes didn't notice. So he would have that ice cream on there for a little while. And he was totally content just to walk around with food on each side of his face until somebody recognized, okay, you got food on your face, man. We need to help you out here. Okay? He's just like, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm totally happy. Why is everybody looking at me? You know, I'm looking good today, you know. No, you got food on your face. Both sides. You know, it's pretty impressive, pretty amazing. You know, along the way in life, God leads us to where he wants us to be, to do what he wants us to do. And yes, you know, there are things, you know, that you know, might feel uncomfortable for us, and other people look at us in a strange way. But we're doing what God wants us to do. We're where he wants us to be. And that's where we need to stay. Amen. We need to be content with that. We need to be content with the life that God has led us to. Amen. We need to be content with the direction God is leading us in this life. The things he's called us to do, to be content with that. Whenever you have contentment in your soul, then man, that's where peace is, isn't it?
Right.
To say, oh, this is where joy. I feel like I'm starting to understand joy whenever I can have peace right where I am. As challenging as it is sometimes. That it was a struggle for us in Nebraska at times because we didn't always want to be there. And I mentioned this before, and so many of you know this, but we knew it was where God wanted us to be. And we knew we were doing what God wanted us to do. So we didn't see the results as quickly as we wanted to see, but we knew we were where he wanted us to be. And so we just stayed. We stayed where he wanted us to be. And we continued to do what we knew he wanted us to do. And God began to put things together, and God began to do miracles, and God began to do amazing things. Because when you're where he wants you to be and you're doing what he wants you to do, then God will work through you and he'll work in your life. And that's what he wants to do in your life. He wants to put his hand on your life. He wants to do miracles in your life. He wants to do something only he can get the glory for. But to do that in your life, you have to trust him with contentment. What ends up happening is we get discontent. And discontentment will not lead you to stay. Discontentment will make you feel like you're missing out. So you need to go here, or you need to go there, or you need to, I don't really feel it here anymore. So we just, what ends up happening in believers' lives is they're just moving all over the place, looking for contentment, when contentment can only be found in being where God wants you to be, and then just staying there.
Amen.
And then he'll fill you with that contentment. He'll fill you with that peace and satisfaction that you're looking for. You know, it's sort of an elusive thing, a satisfaction. Preaching a sermon about being satisfied, that's tough to do. Because it's so relative to everybody's life. What is satisfaction? Well, it's different for you than me. But here's the reality of it. Only God can satisfy you. And so if we just stopped right there and just trusted God right where we are to bring that satisfaction to our life, he'll do it. But we have to stay right where he wants us to be. And then he'll do that work. It's amazing how that works. You know what I think some of us need to do this morning? Some of us need to make a decision that we're just going to stay right where God wants us to be. And we're going to stop floating around in life, looking for this and that, looking for contentment and satisfaction out there in this world. No. Just stay right where he wants you to be. Some of us need to decide that. I mean, make a decision that we're going to stop doing. I have a hair on me. It's just like making me crazy. You know that feels, right? Like you have a hair, you can't see it, can't get it off. That's what I'm just like. I'm not swatting at flies or anything. Brother David, anyway. So Grant, where's Grant at? There he is. Raise your hand. That's Grant over there. You're going to love this. When Grant was little, he would eat Cheerios and then he would stuff them in his diaper. I mean, that was his thing. And he's proud of it today. So anyway, so every time, and you would never know. Like, he just walked around in that diaper like, all is good, friends. Life is good. But the whole time he's walking around, there's a lot of Cheerios in there. You know what I mean? But we can't see it. Not sure what his plan with those. Hopefully he wasn't saving them, because no. We found out about those Cheerios when it was time to change the diaper. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, there's some more things in here other than just what normally is in there. You know, there's some Cheerios in here. You know, I think the contentment he had when things are in the diaper that normally go in the diaper along with Cheerios is sort of how it is, and it ought to be in our life sometimes. Like, where are we going with this, Pastor? Bear with me. It worked in my mind, okay? Sometimes serving God is not very pleasant. Right? It's kind of like the stuff that, you know, you just wish wasn't there. I'd really love to have my life without this being a part of my life. That's the unpleasant part of life, living for God. But you know what can be there also? Cheerios. Cheerios. Only God can do that, right? Here's what God says. This life that I'm leading you to, you can be content. Amen. Right where you are. If you just stay where I want you to be and do what I want you to do, and then you'll go through the seasons and the challenges and how tough it is, and I'll give you peace in that. I'll help you to be cheery, to be filled with joy. But you stay. That's what contentment is. Actually, you know what Jesus plainly said to Peter? Follow me. He says, I've said to you that there's going to be a side of this where you're going to go about freely and you're going to minister and it's going to be a joy. But then there is a day that's coming when your arms will be stretched out. And this is a tough season. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be hard. But I want you to follow me. But what about them? And what about the others? What about John? And what about what others in life? No, no, no. You be content with the life and the direction that I, and the plan that I have for your life. Amen. You stay where I want you to be. You be where I want you to be and do what I'm calling you to do. And I'll fill you. I'll fill you. This morning, that's where some of us need to decide. We have discontentment in our life. And we're moving about. And I'm not just saying from church to church. I'm talking about just in our spiritual life, looking for something to satisfy us. And you'll never find it out there. Contentment is in following Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me say that again. Contentment is in following Jesus. Amen. We need to decide to do that this morning. Humble your heart and say, Lord, I've just been all over the place. I've been discontent. I don't want to be discontent anymore. Are you where he wants you to be? Are you doing what he wants you to do? Then stay. Just follow me. Be content.